Hi, today I'm here with Smir from A Distraction. Welcome to Metal Shock Finland. What was your first thought this morning?
My first thought this morning, oh my God, I have to piss, I think.
Oh, that's quite human. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but
But
usually I have
let's say after the morning coffee. Okay.
after the morning pee, I was sure thinking about our video clip filming today, tomorrow, and at the weekend. So I had to make some plans for pickups and little details when we fly to Poland tomorrow to
Oh
film the video.
yes, I noticed that you are you go there tomorrow, so I hope you very could stay there. Okay, before we go to your upcoming album, please tell me how does it feel still after 30 years to go on stage and play live?
I think it's always the essence of what you do is the live performance, and still is after all those years. I love to work at the studio, and I love to all the surroundings of the scene and stuff. But the main thing is the live performance, and I still enjoy it a lot. And when I don't play live for a while, I kind of get depressed. I need my shows. I need my energy. I need my kick of adrenaline and stuff. So,
Yeah. By the way,
yeah.
do you have any tradition before going on stage that you do each time? I mean,
Yeah. We always have a shot together. Usually, a shot of vodka. Usually before we
oh,
go on stage.
that's a
Yeah.
good start. That's a good
Good. That's very Finnish, actually.
very Finnish way. That's true. That's true. Listen, Smir. Do you feel yourself more as a vocalist or bass player? And which musicians have influenced you the most in your, let's say, when you started, when you get into this, into the music?
Yeah, I mean, I'm influenced also from those people that are doing the same thing than me, you know. Like Levi from Motorhead was always a big influence, and one of the my favorite always favorite bass players and singers is Geddy Lee from Rush.
Yeah.
In the early days, I also loved Venom. Kronos from Venom was a big character at that time,
Yeah.
so I like those people, of course. From the bass player perspective, Steve Harris was very interesting when we were young because he brought in all those melodic harmonies, and he was doing all those licks and stuff.
Yeah.
So I see myself as both, you know. I never wanted to play bass, but I became a bass player. I never wanted to be a singer, so I became a singer. I'm
Yeah.
kind of
So what have you been like to do if it wasn't the bass or singing?
I like the fact that I like the fact that I can play an instrument because then I can compose songs, you know. So I like the bass playing.
Yeah, okay, great.
I like the vocal work, and
Yeah.
it's I could do a lot more than what I do with Destruction, but this voice that I use for Destruction is my roots, is my energy level, and yeah.
Okay, great. What was the first ever metal band or album you have listened to? And that you still think as a masterpiece. I
Oh,
mean,
there's no doubt about that. I
sure.
remember this like it was yesterday. It was at school, and it was Unleashed in the East from Judas Priest.
Yes.
And I was maybe like 13 or 14 years old,
Yeah.
and it really changed my life. It was I think 79 when Unleashed the East came out, or like I remember it around that year, that the first time I heard it,
Yeah.
and it changed my life because it was the most heavy piece of music I heard until then. Before, everybody listens to Kiss and AC/DC and Deep Purple and stuff like this,
Yeah,
but
I grew with those bands, so I know what you are talking about.
this album was so heavy, and the guys in the leather outfits and studs looked just so different.
Yeah.
So I totally fell in love with that at the time. So
Oh,
I
great.
kind of from that point on, I was looking for more extreme music.
Okay, great. Talking about your bass gear, what is your favorite one and how many bass guitars do you have in your collection?
That's a very good question. I still owe some old ones.
Yeah.
that I played on the first records, and I gave some stuff away for friends. My brother has some material.
Mm-hmm.
I gave away, and my ex-girlfriend has two bases at her wall still of me. So I like to give away my stuff, I guess.
Oh, but I guess you keep some of them, or then your favorites, they are changing.
Yeah, the favorites I still have, but I'm also thinking about selling them at one point because I just don't have the space for all those instruments.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I have 7 bases, eight. I think I maybe have 8 bases that I own at the moment, and it used to be more, but it's not possible to, you know, to maintain them, and I'd rather give them to somebody that plays them and has a good time and keeps them in honor.
Yeah.
Just an old friend in Brazil lately again that was living in Germany, and I gave him a bass in the 80s, and he still plays my bass, but he lives back in Brazil now. So it was very fun to see that this bass made a long way, you know, and still honor being played by a good guy. So that's great.
Okay, great. And now to your new album, Spiritual Sinuside, which will come out on the 23rd November. You have stated that this album has no limits. So tell me what we can wait to hear in this album.
I think what's the charm of the record is definitely like the speed. But the speed never sounds like compressed or kind of forced. It's like net speed of the band, because we feel very comfortable at that speed, because we're playing a lot of shows. We're very tight at that speed. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big plus on the record. There's a lot of speedy parts, and they're mixing with more groovy parts. So it's an album that's going up and down and like a roller coaster ride, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the big plus on this album, that it's not boring. Even if it's a pure aggressive thrash metal record,
mm-hmm.
it has ups and downs and diverse elements, which make the album really interesting, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And it has also many great guest musicians, as Thomas from Saddam, Andreas from Tankard, Old Drake from Evil, but also Harry Wilkens and Oliver Kaiser. How was it to work with these guys in the studio? Or did you meet, how was it?
Yeah, basically, as this was the anniversary record, we wanted to invite some very special friends, you know, because you always have some guests on an album. You always have friends here and there that drop by or do some backing vocals or do some lead guitars or something. But this time we wanted to bring the people that started with us.
Mm-hmm.
So Tankard and Sodom started with us, the first shows we ever played together.
Yeah.
All from Evil is a very close friend. He replaced Mike once on the show. And if Destruction would have a second guitar player, it would have been him, you know. With Destruction. So we said, let's bring the friends that really mean something to us. And of course, the old members, Ollie and Harry, been a big part of the band and of the success in the 80s. And when we said we want them on the record to play on a song, they were kind of freaking out a little bit, because they didn't play a professional album for many years. So they were kind of a little nervous, but turned out great. And it's also a great kick for the fans, because I know many people want to know what they're doing. Are they still playing? So it's a special gift for the fans, but also they're very proud to be a part of the record.
Yes, yes, great. And the album was recorded at Kernharder Studios in Germany with engineer Martin Putschwalter, and then it was mixed by German extreme metal producer Andy Klassen. How they influenced to the final sound?
I mean, I think what the guy that records you, the engineer, so the producer, or the whatever his job is,
mm-hmm.
should never influence the band. Mm-hmm. He should make the band sound the way they are in a good way. And that would be the main reason why this guy is there, to bring the positive aspects of the band on a strong platform.
Yeah.
And that's what both guys did. You know, the recording process is a very important one, because There's a lot of pressure. And the guy that recorded you is supposed to be like a relaxed guy that knows what he's doing and keeps a relaxed atmosphere for the band. That's what we had with Martin. He's a good friend. He's a musician too, so he knows his stuff. He knows the band since many years.
Yeah.
So the recording process was relaxed and nothing was forced or overdriven. Everything was really smooth and it's very important to get an optimum of result. There's no pressure, you know. And Andy Klassen, of course, is a guy that does extreme metal, so he wanted to have an extreme sound, of course, aggressive sound, but a real sound on the drums, no samples, no triggers, and Andy was the right guy to do that. And of course, he understands the band because he's coming from the 80s background.
Yes. So that's very important to know, I mean, and to let you do. And yes, as you said, that to pick up the good points, good parts, and make it works, you know. That's true. Yeah. In fact, it just really seems that with this album you have found the right mix. But tell me about the songwriting process. What were your inspirations to create these fast, brutal, and groovy tracks?
You know, basically, it's inspiration is always that we're destruction and we're always played heavy and brutal and fast music. And sometimes when you grow older, there's the risk that you're like that you slow down, that you try to become more artistical and more melodic or whatever. Yeah. So we're always aware of that when we do an album that we tried in between some years in the past to do some more heavy stuff. We tried them some more diverse elements, but we basically you come back what you belong to, which is extreme songwriting, and we work very good together. And when we wrote the songs, the direction was clear that we want to have a fast record, but every song has to differ. Every song has to be different. And that was the main task behind the record at the end. The album is extreme. It's very fast, but every song has to differ and have a variety in the tempi. So all the songs, if you take a click track see the songs, all have different tempis, all of them.
Yes. I've done it, and I've heard it. So sounding very good. And now about this beat, I would like to talk about your not anymore new drummer Waver that joined the band 2 years ago. What was his input to the band's new sound or speed, should I say?
Of course, when you play 200 shows with a guy, you know his good sides and you know what he's able to do.
Yeah.
So we were kind of writing the songs into the direction to give him a chance to perform.
Yeah.
Because he's able to play everything, you know. He's able to play very fast, very groovy, very technical.
Yeah.
So we tried to give him a platform with speed and space and place for fills and some tricky grooves. So of course the drummer is a very important part on thrash metal band.
Yeah.
So without him, the album wouldn't sound like this. Of course.
Yes.
He's able to play all that stuff in a comfortable way. So that's how we wrote the album, to have the background of having a guy that's able to play that.
Oh yes, great, and it can be here also on the album. And now about the cover artwork, it's quite impressive. So, what can you tell me about it and the idea behind it? Because it's really impressive, you know. And if more you are looking at it, more things you find in it.
Yeah, we try to, you know, bring the butcher back in a way that is original, that people say, wow, he's back, but there's more to offer, you know. So we try to put the themes of the lyrics and all the social critical stuff we have in our lyrics. Mm-hmm. We try to put elements of that onto the cover so people see right away that we're not singing about flowers and nice nice landscapes, you know.
It wouldn't fit. Sorry, but it wouldn't
Exactly.
fit. Yeah.
So you see right away which direction the songs go on the record. I think if you see the album, you would think this must be a thrash metal band, and when you see the details, you know right away that the lyrics will go into this direction. So I think, you know, we've always been creating our covers for the lyrics, for the concept of the record, and I know a lot of bands those days, they don't care. The record label just gives them a cover and that's it. And most covers don't even sync with the titles anymore. It's some pieces of art somebody did and they buy it and they put it on the cover. It doesn't mean anything to them.
Yeah, yeah.
We always create all the covers just for the band, and we have a fantastic cover artist does that for us. Also, the booklet will have more illustration inside.
Yeah. It can be seen that it's the cover art is very important to you, that it's not just a cover art, but it's the cover art.
Exactly. We're coming from the 80s, you know, and from the 80s there was cover art was still a very important thing.
Yeah.
I would just keep the tradition alive, that the cover art is very special for us. And it's sometimes when I see covers of bands, I'm like, why? And, you know, what did you think when they do something like this? It's heavy metal. It's supposed to be, you know, a little bit more, different than the rest. A lot of young bands nowadays have very modern covers. Art. I mean, we don't even see that it's a metal band, you know.
Yeah.
That's something that doesn't fit with us.
Yeah, I know. 3 days ago, you released on YouTube the lyrics video, Cyanide, from the album. This morning it had 13,000 clicks. So what feedback you have got from your fans and critics so far?
Oh, it's good, it's good. I mean, that's a great thing about the internet, you know, like you release something and people can have a first listen.
Yeah.
And the song Cyanide was already as a free download.
Yeah.
On Nuclear Blast homepage also. It's also on YouTube as a normal song, and now it's on online as a lyric video. So people have the chance to really take a look at the new material at one song. I think it's a great idea. And Cyanide had some very great responses so far, because it's, of course, a song that is very aggressive and shows that destruction is still young and fresh sounding. And, of course, the whole album has a lot more to offer than the song. But it's, of course, if you would say what defines destruction, the songs define destruction best, first of all. But then, of course, the album has a lot of more songs with more variety, and but still a lot of speed and interesting riffs and interesting ideas. So I'm happy with the first reaction on Cyanide. I think Cyanide is not the best song on the record, but the song that shows mostly which direction the album is.
Yeah. And are you going to do, or when are you going to do the first official video? Tomorrow, you said that you are going tomorrow to shoot the video.
Yeah, we're gonna film this weekend now.
Yeah.
And then we need another like 2 weeks or so to cut everything together. And I'm expecting the clip to be released in the first week of October.
Okay. And the song, can you tell it already, or is this?
Yeah, the song is totally the opposite of Cyanide.
Yeah.
It's more like a groovy, evil, heavy track.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more kind of a horror movie scenario.
Ooh.
It will include the Mad Butcher, and it will be more like a kind of, you know, horror movie kind of thing with a big story and a lot of like filming moments, not so much of the band, more. It's going to be like a movie, you know, like a little horror movie, basically.
Okay, great. So we'll see you when it comes out. You will organize also the release party on the 24th of November in Switzerland. Some details that you can reveal about it.
Oh, we're going to have, of course, a lot of friends there, maybe some surprise guests on stage. And, of course, the Mad Butcher will be there with some... of his slaves.
Yes.
So we're we're gonna give the fans a special show there, and of course we're gonna give them the chance to buy the new record for a special price, and gonna sign the record after the show at the merch booth, and do a good party together.
Oh, great, great, great! And what can you tell me about the upcoming tour? When and where? Do you have some details already?
Yeah, it's a little early. We're booking right now. The first shows are being booked at the moment for January in South America, and then some festivals, and also Asia, I think, in March. And I think Europe should be either in February, some shows, or then later on in April.
Okay.
And also, we'll try to hopefully book some shows with a creator in Sodom and Tankard in the following year.
Yeah.
So it's a little too early to tell, but there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming up, and hopefully we're going to play some shows with our old friends that are also having their 30th anniversary in this upcoming year now.
yeah, that's true. So we will hear in the coming months, we will hear more details about it. So let's hope that also in Finland, as me, that I'm in Italy or other European countries, as well as the whole world.
We have already confirmed some festivals, you know, in the UK, in Germany. We play Rock in Rio next year also. And also we've confirmed one festival in Finland already.
Ooh,
so.
One question about your past. You left the band in 98, but made a great comeback for Wacken 99. And I'm sure it was very memorable moment for you. But what other great moments you bring along from these past 30 years?
Basically, the band have left me. They fired me back in the day.
Yeah.
So the comeback was, of course, very special for me because I never thought it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those live moments in front of big crowds or in special cities are always the fantastic moments, you know. Those are the moments that will always recap. They will always be there because, you know, the first time maybe play in a country like Singapore or maybe the 10th time you play in Colombia, and there's still a lot of people coming to the shows and giving you a warm comeback. There's a lot of those magic moments that are very special and you will always remember.
Yeah.
So even if you play a lot of shows, there's always a lot of those special moments where you have to really like be like, wow, is this real or is this fucking a dream, you know? So
I know. And what about the craziest thing that you remember that has happened in a show or festival?
Yeah. Craziest show last year or in general in the last years was not the European festival. It was Colombia. It was the festival called Rock El Parque in Colombia.
Yeah.
It was like 100,000 heavy metal fans.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, and we're kind of headlining the show. So it was very special, you know.
Yeah.
It was 100 Colombians freaking out on a huge open air festival, and it's like Wacken, even bigger than Wacken, but with Colombian people that are more crazy, you know. So it was insanity. There was like many mosh pits. I don't know how many mosh pits. maybe huge ones, you know, huge ones, 10, 15 huge mosh pits all over the place. It was until the eye could not see anymore. There was people, you know, it was very, very special.
And looking that crowd from the stage, it must be a very, very nice feeling, I guess.
It's unreal, you know, it gives you a hyper adrenaline kick. It's like...
Great. And what do you expect from your future, let's say in the next years after the release, after the tour and whatever? And what are the dreams and plans that you still want to accomplish in the coming years?
You know, I'm expecting us to play also a lot of shows worldwide, and that we're still going to be able to catch up with some new countries.
Yeah.
And that's also always the dream that you have for when you have a new album out and have the chance to do a new tour. There's always hope for that we discover new countries.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been always, every year now, we've been putting and adding new countries on the list of countries we played. And And I think for next year, hopefully there will be some new ones. We already have offers from Malaysia and from countries like Philippines and was it Vietnam? That would be nice too.
Great, yeah.
Playing some countries where we've never been.
New zones you are bringing your mission.
Yeah, I like the fact, of course, that there's metalheads and destruction fans. But yeah. I also like the fact that that I can go to new countries, new cultures, and see the world, and that's always very interesting.
Yeah. By the way, is there any difference that you see between the fans in different I don't say different countries, but different cultures?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I always compare it to football. Mm-hmm. You go to football games, the fans in the southern regions are always more crazy.
Yeah.
So it's the same all over the world. When you go to the southern countries in Europe or South America, it's the craziest crowd.
Yeah.
Most mosh pits, most circle pits,
yeah.
Most crazy crowd. And then if you go to the east, you know, Japan, people are also very wild, but in a different way. There's no mosh pits. They're more like jumping and headbanging.
Yeah.
And that's always, every country has a little bit of a different different thing. I really like the circle pits when the fans for thrash metal do circle pits.
Yeah.
I like that. When you go to the United States, people do the mosh pit, like the punk mosh pit. I don't like that so much because people are just fighting each other like in chaos, you know, in the pit.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have much energy. I like the circle pit because it creates a certain energy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's for me.
Togetherness. I think that's also togetherness. I mean,
exactly, together.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I like the circle pit most for thrash metal shows.
Okay, great. Shmir, we are nearly at the end of our chat. But before the last questions, please tell me, how do you spend your time outside of stage, studios and music?
Now, I'm working for Destruction, doing interviews or coordinating shows.
No, let's leave out also the interviews. When you are not involved in music or in any ways, I mean, your free time, when you want to stuck the plug and that's it.
Yeah, then I try to do some sports, uh-huh. You know, I'm doing some boxing or gym or riding bicycle, clear my head. And, of course, I do normal stuff that everybody likes to do, you know, party with friends, cinema.
Yeah.
A good movie always helps also to forget reality. I like that, you know.
And what is a good movie for you?
A good movie could be everything. I'm not into special effects movies only, you know. I like the story. I need a story.
Yeah, okay.
I prefer any good acting and a good story to any action movie. So, but of course, a good action movie that offers a good story is nice too. So I'm pretty open, but I don't like the typical Hollywood blockbusters.
Too.
I mean, sometimes, you know, the popcorn movie is fun, but I prefer like good stories and little twists and some acting skills in the movie.
Listen, Shmir, I thank you very much for this interview.
My pleasure.
Sorry?
Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear. Go ahead.
I said, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Yes, but now the word is yours. What would you like to say? Your greetings to your fans and to our readers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to coming back to Finland. And hopefully we're also going to play back in Helsinki, because now it's been a couple of years. The last time we played in Helsinki was 2000 and, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been some years back, so
yeah. So it's about time.
It's about time. Yeah, we played some festivals in Finland in the last years, but and not Helsinki again. So hopefully we can come to Helsinki next year and see our fans there. I know they're waiting. So
yeah.
And the rest of you, we see you at Steel Fest next summer.
Yeah, great. Shmir, I hope you all the best before the release and for the release party and after that. And I really hope to see you on stage soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll sure come to Italy. So
yeah, please. Okay, sure. You're welcome.
Okay.
Please. Okay. Have a nice evening. Talk soon. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.